When I tried to come up with my worst, most exemplary, terrible job to start off this chapter, I found myself a little bit stuck. Let's just say I have an embarrassment of riches to choose from. But here's one. I was in my mid-20s, married, childless. My husband and I lived in a small town in the mountains at the time. I was working as a bartender. If you have ever wondered where frat boys go to die, it is to grown-up fraternal organizations. They have their own members-only bars and pretty much feel like they can do whatever they want inside their members-only walls. And that included, at this place, violating the physical and mental boundaries of those of us serving them their drinks. During NASCAR races, we'd have dozens of people sitting around drinking Bud Light and arguing the relative merits of Junior. For the uninitiated, that's Dale Earnhardt Jr. There's a raging debate about the relative merits of Junior versus his daddy, although both are beloved. If you are in the country and you mention Junior by his given name, you will have immediately outed yourself as city folk. I had two bosses. One was nearing 80 and mostly just wanted to drink copious amounts of rot gut while pretending to manage the books. The other was in his prime, or at least he'd never lived a day in his life in which he didn't think he looked amazing. Really, he was balding and portly and had a molester mustache. Let's call him MM for short. MM liked to remark on how young I was and then accidentally brush against the parts of me that didn't usually see daylight. He wasn't there every day, but when he was, I could look forward to being asked every 20 minutes or so whether I'd be willing to service him sexually. The fact that his wife was often within earshot mattered not at all, because of course he was only joshing, proving how virile he still was. Except that the women who did sleep with him got the better shifts. Funny, right? I wasn't desperate enough to do that for an extra $20 or $30 a day. There is definitely an amount of money you could pay me to have sex with a skeevy old dude, but I'm fairly certain I've priced myself well out of MM's financial reach. Instead, I'd make my minimum wage and maybe another 10 or 20 bucks in tips, leaving me with a grand total of enough income to qualify me for state aid. So I picked up a second job waiting tables. The thing about working for tips is that you're supposed to always make at least the minimum wage. The federal minimum for waiting tables is $2.13 an hour. Some states do have higher minimums for tipped employees, but only about half of them. If you don't make enough in tips to bump you up to the federal minimum wage of $7.25, the restaurant is supposed to kick in the difference. Corporate restaurants are too protective of their bottom lines to allow a single useless employee, so they typically send waitstaff home as soon as they can. The smaller mom-and-pop places, where there might be only a single wait person on staff for hours at a time when it's slow, might have their employees do deep cleaning and other things when there are no customers. So there you are, working constantly, but getting paid only $2.13 an hour. No matter how good a waitress you are, you probably won't make 2 or 3 hours worth of minimum wage out of tips from your only table in hours. These aren't the kind of restaurants where generous patrons just take it into their heads to overtip. And if you remind your boss that he's supposed to top you off to $7.25, then you run the risk of finding yourself with reduced hours or fired altogether. So you pretty much keep your mouth shut about that.